Friends, my topic today is Man's Suffering is God's Opportunity. Now, welcome to the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry, and I'm Pastor Schulze. This broadcast is brought to you every week at this time over this station. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for thy divine illumination on the declaration of this word in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, let me give you the text for the day, and that is from Genesis 37, the story of Joseph. And it says here, "And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it." Now, the early picture, my friend, of Joseph is not a good one, is it? It's a picture of rejection, of loneliness, of injustice, of want, of hopelessness, and of great suffering. It is a picture invoking pity and compassion. It's a picture causing many to ask, "Where is God?" or "Why does God allow this?" And, dear ones, such is indeed the view of man many a times in the face of much of suffering, of even the best, the most godly men. However, to God this was not such a bad picture of Joseph at all. In fact, to God this was a wonderful picture. God saw this as a beginning of a mighty work that would prepare Joseph to be the ruler of the greatest empire, to bind her princes at his pleasure, to teach her senators wisdom, and to deliver Egypt and Israel from starvation. Oh, my friend, man looked at Joseph and said, "What a pity." However, God looked at Joseph and said, "How marvelous," because the train that would take Joseph to Egypt was only hours away. For it was in Egypt that God would make the man in the pit into a savior. God, by allowing Joseph to be separated from a life of pleasure and favoritism, placed him into the machine that would make a new man out of the old, a better man out of a good man, and a strong man out of a weak man. Through this process, a man dependent on his father became a man dependent on God the Father. A man short-sighted became a man far-sighted. Praise the Lord. To man, the picture of Joseph in the pit is a picture of sadness, a picture of a man whose luck had run out and who had come to the dead end of his life. But to God, Joseph's being cast into the pit was Joseph's being cast into divine history, toward the fulfillment of the Master's plan for his life, and toward the fulfillment of Joseph's dreams of the sheaves of the sun and the moon and the stars. Because God's name is I Am, my friend, both past and future are rolled into one great present for him. To God, the moment Joseph sat in the pit was the same moment Joseph sat at the governor's table in Egypt. The moment Joseph was hungry, thirsty, and cold in that pit was to God the same moment Joseph was feasting in luxury in the palace. To man, you see, the future is like a thick darkness, like unto a wall of impenetrable fog. Man's vision is just a few feet into the tomorrow at best. But God sees all the events from Genesis to Revelation, all on one great broad panoramic canvas. He knows the yesterdays, the todays, and the tomorrows, all of this at the same time. But, my friend, since our vision and understanding is limited, and since we cannot see beyond our pits of suffering into the throne rooms ahead of us, we must then rely on the fact that it is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he can do for you. The key to our hope, the key for us to look less miserably at our miserable situation, is in a review of the great truth that no amount of suffering ever placed on any of his children has ever come unbeknownst to God. None of those sufferings, provided we surrender, will ever fail to bring us to higher ground. In fact, every suffering of the saint, although painful at the moment, will always soon be lost in an endless sea of eternal bliss and glory. To the surrendered, trusting saint, all stairs of suffering lead upward. Yet, conversely, to the unsurrendered Christian, all stairs of suffering lead downwards toward self-pity, resentment, anger, and self-destruction. If we suffer rightly, all suffering is either the beginning or the continuation of divine history for us. But if we suffer wrongly, we find ourselves at the end of our walk with God. So yes, my friend, men's sufferings, if taken rightly, are God's great opportunities to take us higher, and there are no reasons for pity, it seems, in the light of divine history. Jesus' entire victory came out of the bowels of suffering. So where should we look for our source of victory but in suffering? The disciple, Jesus said, is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple to be as his master. So Joseph had to meet the pit. There absolutely had to be a separation of Joseph from his father Jacob. For Jacob loved Joseph so much that he would have never let his son go. Jacob would have shielded Joseph from all the suffering he possibly could. When we protect our children from suffering and disappointments, we very well may prevent them from entering divine history, unless God in his mercy steps in and delivers them from our selfish clutches. Thus, the jealousy and anger of Joseph's brothers became the vehicle that later caused Joseph to be his brother's savior. That which was meant for evil turned out to be for good. Oh, my friend, might it also be so for you. Now then, what was the determining factor that moved Joseph from the pit to the palace? What is the determining factor for success with God? Is it education? Is it one's calling? Is it wealth, fame, fortune, or hard work? No, my friend, whether you or I succeed with God, whether you or I will have God's tailwind or God's headwind, is determined by one singular factor, and that's called attitude. Joseph kept his heart. Joseph kept his heart from the poison of resentment, anger, hatred, unbelief, self-pity, and doubt. Joseph believed God. Joseph trusted God. Joseph relied upon God. Joseph trusted the Lord with all his heart, and he did not lean on his own understanding. Joseph did not try to figure out why overnight he had moved from a sumptuous table of abundance to an empty pit without water. For Joseph knew that all his springs were in God. They were. So his brothers drew him out of the pit, and he was purchased by Midianite merchants. His hands were tied behind his back. He was lifted upon a beast, and he was now a slave. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if God would tell us what our suffering would lead us to? Wouldn't it have been nice if Joseph had been told that he was on the way to the governorship of Egypt with his hands tied behind his back? No, my friend, it would not have been nice, because knowing takes us out of trusting. And the motto of the righteous is that the just shall live by faith. Through the dreams he gave to Joseph, God had already told him of great things ahead. And now steadfast trust in God's revelation had to carry him through what looked like a, my God, why hast thou forsaken me situation. God will never forsake the righteous. Friend, Joseph was a slave only outwardly. And he that is a slave only outwardly is not a slave at all. You may be in a pit, or you may be in prison, yet the freedom that counts can never be taken from you by any man. It is only surrendered from within when we give up our faith. The choice to serve God or to succumb to the self-life is never in anyone's hands but your own. The choice to enter the prison of self-pity or to continue in trust is always ours. Now then, in Egypt, Joseph was sold again. Look at who bought him now. Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's, Potiphar looked for the best. He could bring home nothing but the best. Potiphar looked at Joseph, and Joseph was young, but so were many other slaves. He was strong, so were many others. He was intelligent, so were many others. But then I ask, what then caused Potiphar to choose Joseph for the palace? The answer was this: countenance. Potiphar saw that the Lord was with Joseph. Potiphar saw that none of the other slaves had the countenance of Joseph. Joseph had a countenance of light, of confidence, of freedom, of love, of humility, and of the divine Son of God. Oh, my friend, nothing had ever ruined the countenance of godliness on the face of Joseph. The envies of his brothers didn't, the empty pit didn't, the mercilessly long journey to Egypt didn't, the chains and the holding prison in Egypt didn't. No, nothing did. In fact, the longer the suffering, the brighter his countenance. It was the countenance of divinity and the chains of men that sold Joseph to Potiphar, that placed Joseph into God's divinely appointed place. Now, tell me, where in the midst of suffering will your countenance take you? Will it take you to that which is predestined for you? Or will it take you to the scrap heap of lives consumed by negatives, the ugly, and the refuse of life? So you see, attitude is everything. Attitude either produces divine countenance, a countenance of light, or it produces a countenance of darkness and gloom unsought for by the merchants of God. Well, my friend, you know the rest of the story. Once again, Joseph was moved from a sumptuous stable to the coldness of a prison by the lie of a woman lusting for him. Yet his countenance became even more brilliant. The keeper of the prison also saw that the Lord was with him. Do people, my friend, see that the Lord is with you? Do they only see it when the going is good, or do they also see it when the marriage is hard, when disease strikes the vital organs, when the business teeters on the edge of bankruptcy, or when the children go the way of the world? Well, in all this, my friend, remember Joseph. Suffering, if done rightly, is God's opportunity to place you into divine history and to move you ever upward on its trail. By attitude, Joseph became the savior of Egypt and of Israel, saving them from severe starvation. And in a sense, Joseph became a savior of our Savior, who was yet in the bowels of Abraham. Oh, what God can do with just one man who knows the secret of attitude. Our Father, we thank Thee for this time together. We pray that You'll help us, deliver us, O Lord, from this negative spirit of complaining and murmuring, but help us, Lord, to be like a Joseph, to look up to You and to love You and to serve You and to trust in You with all our hearts, and the best will be ahead of us. For more messages just like this, you may go to my website, www.joyfulabiding.com. Again, that is www.joyfulabiding.com. May the Lord help you, and I will talk to you again next week at the same time over this station. Goodbye for now. I'm Pastor Schulze.